The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, our next guest this morning comes from a family that's steeped in the fruit and veg industry in Ireland. Sam Denigan is a familiar name here, a wholesale company with offices in Cork, Dublin and Spain. But Sam Denigan, a grandson of the original Sam Denigan, has branched away from the family business to set up his own Strong Roots brand based around frozen veg. Their biggest seller is frozen sweet potato fries. Recently, he moved to the US to take on that market, which makes up 33% of the global frozen food market. Sam, food was in the blood. Tell me about the family background.
Sure. I grew up in a agriculture business. My family were small-scale farmers. My grandfather was a sales manager of one of the last cooperatives in Ireland, North Dublin Growers it was called. And he set up a business in the mid-70s, which my dad and my uncle carried on through from the mid-80s when he died. I joined...
And that's Sam Denigan business.
That's Sam Denigan and
Company.
You see
it on the side of...
Yeah, you'll see the trucks they have a couple of brands specifically around potatoes and vegetables. So I grew up in that business. You know, Saturdays for me were going to the warehouse to do whatever I could in the office with my dad or go out in the trucks with the drivers. And then eventually after school and after a brief stint in art college, I went to work for my dad in the fruit market in Dublin.
Art college, that was an interesting one. That makes it sound as if you weren't necessarily going to go into business.
Yeah, I think I was very lucky. I had parents who supported me to do whatever I wanted. I think probably terrifyingly so, but during transition year, I decided that I wanted to pursue a creative design stream, not really knowing what it was at that point. I tried architecture, but that style wasn't suitable for me, and then I tried fine art painting, which I was okay at, and then I eventually settled with graphic design and did some film production as well. So I've always just been interested in the arts.
And, so was there a business element to it with drawing or designing logos or brands, or I presume that would have come in handy?
Yeah, it did. I was obsessed with brands. I used to take logos and things from the market, you know, try and improve them and, you know, create interesting taglines. That kind of happened from a very early stage.
Was it inevitable that you would start work and join the family firm?
It's a strange one because the family business is a very unique thing. You feel drawn to it. You feel, you know, that you're kind of brought up to understand how important legacy is. You don't want to be the one who doesn't go into it. You don't want to be the one who doesn't give it a go. So that was important, but I didn't realise until I was in it. You know, I went into the family business as a summer job and then kind of fell in love with it. I was always interested in food, but not at the level that I was once I went in. I'm a very kind of into the details person. So once I understood all of the different parts of the supply chain and sales and the characters from the Dublin market, you know, that was kind of difficult to turn down. And it was completely my choice. You know, I think my dad was happy that I was coming in because of that legacy, but my mum was scared that I wasn't kind of pursuing the original career. So
your name was on the trucks, Sam Denigan and all of that.
My grandfather's name was on the trucks, yeah.
Well, that's the
and,
same, yeah.
There's too many of us. It gets confusing. But, yeah, I'm sure that had a part to play. You know, you feel you're part of something, and who doesn't want to belong, you know?
So when you were working for the family firm then, were you sort of interested in saying, well, I want to put my own stamp or my own mark on this. I want to do things this way or that way or try something different?
Yeah, we tried a couple of things that, you know, both failed. Sam's Potatoes was essentially a product that we made as a me too in the market. It was to kind of fend off competition, and, you know, learned very quickly that it has to have a USP, it has to have a unique selling point in order to survive for the consumer. So that was a valuable lesson, and ultimately it became commoditized, and, you know, it was kind of very price driven. And the second one was a brand called Green Giant Fresh. So everybody knows Green Giant Sweet Corn. I thought that, because the Irish consumer had such a good sentiment with Green Giant, it's got, you know, 95% household penetration and recall, which basically means that everybody knows it. I thought if we put it on fresh produce, you know, we had cherry tomatoes and tender stem broccoli and lots of different kind of fresh snacking items, that it would make sense. And it made sense to the consumer, but the retailers own the private label landscape of fresh food.
So they'd rather sell their own brand.
Wouldn't you? So it just wasn't something that took off. It was probably ahead of its time. It was probably, you know, at a point in the economy where it was quite difficult. So there's so many different things that have to fit into place to make something work. And having had those failures, I think it was easier to foresee those.
So you came up with the idea for Strong Roots, the business that you're involved in now and that you're doing. But did you begin that while still working in the family firm, or how did all that play out?
The business started while I was doing a supply contract to McCain's Foods in the UK for a trial that they were doing for sweet potato fries for a restaurant chain, a famous restaurant chain. And I was essentially consulting on how to best get it to market. And having done so much research, realized that the way that it was being done was not the best way, and had consulted growers and farmers and various different people. But they didn't have the capacity or want to progress with the project. And having done so much research for the previous two brands, I knew that the consumer was looking for an elevated product, an elevated level of convenience within healthy food. You know, there was a shift in consumption in the market from a very traditional plate to a very modern plate, to what we called aspirational vegetables.
You know? So did you want them, you had this idea, did you want that idea to grow within the Sam Dennigan business that you were working in, the family business, or did you think maybe I should do this on my own?
Initially, everything that I worked on in the family business was for the family business. I think the separation was that, you know, they're not necessarily a branded product company, and I wanted to have a brand that had limitations within the family business.
So how did that play out? Did you then have a conversation with your dad and your uncle about it?
I basically entered into the Food Academy, which is run by Bord Bia and Enterprise Ireland, in conjunction with Super Value. I pitched it to them and I got accepted. And as part of that program, you end up getting, you know, a slight public profile. And so at that stage, I had to have a conversation with them and say, look, I've been doing this outside the business and I'd like to do it separately. I'd like to pursue this without kind of any constraints.
So how do they react?
The decision process was, you know, well, you know, it's stay or go. Stay to be supported in your role, or go and benefit from completely concentrating on the new business.
That must have been a very tough conversation to have, because it's your dad, it's your uncle.
Yep.
You're also the third generation, and you're more or less saying, I have this idea and I really want to pursue it, and it's probably going to have to be outside of the family firm. Was it a tough conversation?
Yeah, really difficult. I mean, you know, you're talking about lots of factors here. You're talking about loyalty and legacy. You're talking about security. You're talking about, you know, everything to reputation and, you know, how does this go? And I think every entrepreneur will tell you that the only difficult part of getting going is starting and taking the step. So it was absolutely terrifying. And it's strange, you know, you have lots of memories in your life, but some more vivid than other. And I think I could probably play the exact conversation out, you know, word for word. It was a big moment.
Were they disappointed?
Maybe a little. I think now we're very close. I think we speak more now than we did then. And I think it's actually easier. I think anyone in family business will tell you that when it's good, it's amazing. And when it's difficult, it can only be personal. So I'm glad it happened, but I'm also unbelievably glad for the experience that came before.
Now, with the Strong Roots business, there's a sort of a classic model that people apply as to how to set up a company in Ireland, particularly, let's say, in the food business. You set up in Ireland, you do the Irish market, then you go to the UK, you do the UK market, and then many businesses stop at that because if they can crack those, you've decided to do that and you've got your eye on the American market, which is the big prize. Does that scare you at all, the scale of that?
Well, we haven't cracked any markets. We've made a successful business, but the goal of the products and the brand are to be a market leader, are to be a household brand name. And I think, you know, that's going to take 20 years. I celebrate the fact that, you know, 90%+ businesses don't last the year. We're in year 5 and we're thriving. And I'm just really proud of that and really proud of the team for getting that there.
And you've raised external finance as well, haven't you? Because it's a tough business to sort of ratchet up and expand, and you need to have the money in the bank in order to fund that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the only part of the business that I never had experience in with my family was actually finance. So I got a big land when I went out on my own as to, you know, where does the money come from? I used our savings that we had for a house first, which was 100,000, and Bank of Ireland gave me a 60,000 loan, which had to be repaid in 90 days. So I had a single container of product that I had to sell and be paid for within a 90-day period. And if that didn't happen, none of this would have happened. Now it did, and we had to order 2 and 3 containers of product, and it started rolling, and we were able to get more credit lines. But, we got to the middle of the summer of this year without any funding other than assistance from the banking partners.
That was serious pressure with a container of stuff and a 60 grand loan to be paid.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't think we really knew what we were doing. You know, it was we were very hopeful and we were very lucky. And some people don't believe in luck, but we've had a ton of it and it's currency for us at this stage. We did a private equity finance deal with a New York private equity firm called Good Partners, who've had lots of success with disruptive brands.
So how much do they invest in the business?
So in euro terms, just over 16.5 million. So we brought Good Partners in as a growth partner for a minority of the business. And the purpose of that is to continue to grow at the pace that we've been growing.
Are you profitable yet? You might not be profitable yet. You've raised finance. It values the company at, well, certainly more than 36 million anyway, because if it's 18 for a minority. But are you profitable?
No. Right now, this year, we're not going to be profitable. We've taken a position of fast growth, which means that we're going to incur losses. My background, and traditionally I would, you know, everything has to be profitable or else it's not business. So this is relatively new to me. It's risk, but at the same time, and as I said earlier, we're trying to build a business that has a life cycle of 20 years plus.
Growth in plant-based, and people are talking about plant-based foods as substitutes for meat and all of that. How big do you think that market can become?
I think the last figure that I saw was for the US, and I think it's being valued at somewhere close to $1 trillion at the moment. This is not slowing down, and it's very topical for two reasons. The first is people are knowledgeable about their health now and they're using food in a medicinal way to be better, to feel better, etc. The second piece is an environmental part. Help improve and increase planet health.
Does that always work though, Sam? Like, for example, a classic case is the avocado. Many of them come from Mexico, the water usage, flying these vegetables halfway around the world. There's a whole sustainability question there as well, isn't there?
Yeah, I think the water use in vegetables is dwarfed by the water usage in meat. You know, we are not anti-meat. I do not subscribe to an exclusively vegan diet. And it's about effort and reduction.
How do you get on with your dad and your uncle now? You said you have a very good relationship. Are they available for a bit of business advice? Have you gone to them for advice, or have they offered you any tips, or are they watching on from afar?
Yeah, I mean, my dad has been he hates this term, so I'm going to say it, consigliere for the business since the start. You know, he's not on the board, but he provides very, very sound advice from time to time. You know, when things get a bit big and complicated, he's the best person for simplifying them and just saying, you know, stick to the knitting, basically.
Would you ever go back to the family business?
No, I don't think so. The business is very different. I love what I'm doing. And, you know, this is going to sustain me for a long time.
You've moved to the States. You've got a young family. You have a young son.
Yes.
What was the change like going to the US and doing business in the US?
It's difficult. It's really difficult. It's the biggest challenge yet, I have to say. I think when you're younger and you don't have responsibilities, things are easier because you can be a bit selfish. You know, the US business is very much a startup all over again, you know, for the third time in 4 years, which is difficult. But that's what I love as well. So it's about having a balance between work life and family life and making sure that's sustained. And I think over the last 2 years, they've become unbalanced, and now is a time for growth in the business, but also, you know, investment and growth in the family as well.
Well, the very best of luck with it. Sam Dennigan, founder of Strong Roots, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Me.